Our first guest tonight is one of the most innovative, successful, and influential people in the history of popular music. He's got so many Grammys, they named one after him. Today, he was immortalized with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Please say hello to Dr. Dre. You really are 6'1", 225 of pure chocolate.
You know what? I don't want that right now, Jimmy. Stop playing. By the way, just for my, just a disclaimer.
Okay.
That skit was Jimmy's idea. Just so everybody knows.
Okay.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you ever imagine you'd have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
No, I didn't. That was not in my mental at Rolodex at all.
When you were a kid, did you ever come down here to Hollywood and look at those stars?
Let me tell you something. I didn't see Hollywood until I was 16 years old, I think, so.
Interesting. You never made it over here, huh?
No, nothing north of Wilshire.
Yeah, but when you were 16, you got here, and what were you up to then?
I'd rather not say.
Oh. They had to shut
it was a lot of fun. Let me just put it that way.
They had to shut the whole boulevard down because there were so many people to see you today. Did you imagine that that was going to happen?
No, no, I didn't. But it was fantastic. L.A. showed up for me today.
They really did show up.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. I didn't expect it to be that many people out there to represent, but that was great.
Is it weird for you when the cops are there and they're like, Dr. Dre?
Sometimes that's weird.
Yeah, you know? It's a little strange, right? Do you often get surprised by people who are fans? Or you size them up and you go, this can't possibly be.
Yes, this happens sometimes. Actually, there was one time, I can't remember where I was, but I was at a hotel in the lobby and a group of nuns came by. Yes, and they were like, Dr. Dre. I'm like, get the f-. Right? And I'm like, how do you know my music? And they were like, well, we deal with a lot of kids, and they love your music. And I took pictures with, like, I think it was 6 nuns.
Oh, that's great.
That actually happened.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You have worked with so many, you launched so many careers, worked with so many people, N.W.A., of course, Eazy-E, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, Eminem, Tupac, Kendrick Lamar, Anderson .Paak, Mary J. Blige, Gwen Stefani and Eve, T.I., Busta Rhymes, Alicia Keys, Missy Elliott, Xzibit, Warren G, G-Unit, Big Pun, Nate Dogg, Jay-Z, The Game, MC Scat Cat. Oh, wait a minute. That might be... that may have been an error, but... I mean, that is...
That's a tremendous amount of work, man.
That's a lot of work, and that's quite a list.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I would imagine the answer to this is yes, but do artists from other genres often approach you and ask you to work with them?
Yes, all the time, but, you know, my love is with hip-hop. It really depends on the relationship. If I meet somebody that we, you know, we click and what have you, then I'll go in the studio and get down.
Even if it's not your type of music? Like, if it was, let's say Dolly Parton wanted to record
it. I love Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's something you would consider.
Yes. Absolutely. Jolene is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Like, you could produce anybody, right? It's not about what the music is. It's about
making
the music.
Absolutely, I could do that. But hip-hop is my love.
It's your love. And when you make a song with an artist, the artist comes in. Do they come in with the whole, like, a lot of times, I mean, like, I think Dolly Parton will write all her songs, and she'll show up, and she has the song all kind of ready to go, and they record it. You, though, set the table, right? You really are much more involved in the song than most producers.
Well, usually the track is laid out. Every now and then, the artist comes in with the lyrics first, and that has only happened a couple of times in my career. One time was with Eminem on a song called Forgot About Dre.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes, so.
Nothing comes out when they move their lips, you know, right?
Eminem wrote that. He had the entire song written before the track, so we had to make the track work with his lyrics. So he wrote that entire song.
Is it true that you don't like the artist to write the lyrics down on paper?
No, that's not true. That happens. I mean, these days, it just feels a little bit boring as a producer to sit in the studio and wait for an artist to go away or go in another room and write the lyrics while you're sitting there waiting. So I'd like it to be a collaborative effort, and once the track is done, we're collaborating with the lyrics, and that's how
I prefer it. In the movies, and sometimes it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Television producers don't do anything. Like,
I'm learning that.
They
now,
do nothing.
You know?
Yeah, their name is on the thing.
Yeah, the word producer, executive producer in the movies, it means absolutely nothing. I'm starting to learn that.
Yeah.
You know?
You, I know, listen to a lot of music. You're looking for inspiration. You're going through old records. Like, do you go to yard sales? Where do you get all your records?
I used to.
You did?
I used to. I used to go to pawn shops and what have you to find different sounds for music, because back in the day, I had, let's say, one or two keyboards to make an entire album. So I had to figure out ways to make the sounds different. So I would go in pawn shops and find guitar pedals and what have you to make the sounds in this one particular keyboard sound different, so I can make an entire album using one keyboard.
Do you still do that?
No.
The song, the next episode that everybody knows, this is a huge, huge hit. This is where you got the music track from this album. You go to a pawn shop, and this is one you take home?
Man, you know what? I collect records. I've been collecting albums.
But not this one.
That was a part of it, Jimmy. Like International Records, like Lilo Schifrin and all these types
this
of
This guy
albums.
Was on NCIS.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know?
It was, yeah.
This just happened to be a song that was in one of my crates, you know? And it worked out.
You went through every track on this album and found that.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, that's great. And he never really looked at the cover and said, man, maybe not.
No. No, to be honest with you, I sampled this song before I knew who the artist was.
Did you ever meet this guy?
No, I never met him. Oh, well, unfortunately.
He's passed away, so it's not going to happen.
I mean.
You also sometimes will create sounds that instruments don't make. So, like they do in the movies, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So, what are some sounds that you've created?
We used to have to bring trash cans and boxes and just different things that would make sounds for a snare drum or a kick drum, and that was just like part of the creative process at that time, which to be honest with you was much more fun than now. You can just turn on the computer and you can find all the things that took us hours to find. You can find that in 2 seconds.
So you bring in a trash can and just like bang on the trash
sometimes,
can
sometimes. Yes.
Yeah. Would you ever record, like, a children's album, like redo Baby Shark or something like that?
Not Baby Shark, but a children's album, maybe.
You would?
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be something else.
Yeah, the parents might be a little bit upset about it.
Yeah. You'd have to put a sticker on it for sure. All right, are you ready for this? Because it's going to be kind of like This Is Your Life. You remember that old show where we bring out characters from your life?
Let's go.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. Dr. Dre is here. Snoop Dogg is here. 50 Cent is here. And we'll be back with Snoop after this. We're back with Dr. Dre. Our next guest and Dre go together like gin and juice. They teamed up to make some of the biggest hip-hop hits of all time. Please say hello to the dog father, Snoop Doggy Dogg. Good to see you. Happy Dre Day to you.
Yes, sir.
Were you excited to see Dre get a star on the Walk of Fame?
I'm Dr. Dre's biggest fan.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah,
you guys love each other. I gotta tell you, I feel like the three of us don't spend enough time together. We really. Oh, by the way, Snoop, you and Guillermo made up, I heard? You spoke to Peace Pipe?
He came on TV and lied on me, right?
He did.
I wasn't in the bathroom, so what I did was I sent the APB out on him, and we brought him in the backstage, and we got him right, so now he lit.
Real good. Now we're happy. Real good, yeah.
So the story goes, and correct me if I have any of this wrong, Snoop had a friend named Warren G, who happened to be your stepbrother.
Yes.
And he put you guys together.
Yes.
Do you remember that day? Something like that.
Yeah. The story was, I was at a bachelor party, and my stepbrother Warren G just popped this tape in and said, listen to this, you know, and it was Snoop's voice. And I said, can we meet? Can we meet in the studio? You know, long story short, I think it was 2 days later or something like that, Snoop came in the studio. Snoop had no idea about song structure or anything like that. He just came in rapping.
Did you get that a lot where people bring a tape for you to listen at when you're at, like, a social gathering? You're like, oh, boy, here we go.
All the time. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, I've never found an artist from a demo tape other than Snoop and Eminem.
Really? Yeah. Never other than Snoop and Eminem? Yeah. So then you guys made The Chronic, and whose idea was that? I'm unclear on what the answer to this is. Whose idea was the title The Chronic?
Okay. That's a good question. Okay, my first time smoking weed. I was in the car in my driveway, and I think we were halfway through the album, and there was a female. I'm not going to say her name. And
Was it former First Lady Barbara Bush?
No. No. No, Jimmy.
All right.
It wasn't that. I'm trying to keep it, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's my first time smoking weed, you know, and I asked her what it was, and that's what she told me, and boom. Here we are.
She said, this is called The Chronic.
That's it.
You spoke and you said that. Now, Snoop, I've heard you say that you came up with The Chronic.
Well, let me tell you my story.
Okay.
Me and you
in the back seat?
No. Me and my homies was in Long Beach, right? And it was a white guy that used to come through the Poly Apartments and bring us bud. And he had hydroponic. But we smoked it and started saying hydrochronic and flipped it. And then that's when we started saying, oh, this weed is bomb. It's The Chronic. And Dre's album was so bomb, it only was right for it to call it The Chronic because it was the bombest thing on the streets. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Which story do you believe?
Well, I'm going to say
the
that any story...
Or the drinker.
Right.
Any story that involves smoking weed is questionable just to start with.
Right.
I mean, who the hell knows? It could have come from somewhere else, for all we know. So then Dre wanted to record a demo of Nothing But a G Thing, and you were unavailable at that time. You were indisposed, correct?
I was incarcerated.
You were incarcerated. What were you incarcerated for?
I was on probation, and I had a toothache at the time. And one of my family members was the pill lady, so I went to go see her, and she gave me a pill. And when I went to go take a test, I had a dirty test for having
medical marijuana is what you got.
No.
Oh, it wasn't medical marijuana.
The pill that I took for my tooth was a cocaine.
Oh, the pill. Oh, okay.
And I didn't have a prescription, and at that time, I didn't want to give up my auntie. So I was like, I don't know where I got it from.
Oh, I would have sent my aunt right to jail. Right to jail.
That's a lot of info.
Wow. So then you recorded the demo over the phone from jail?
No.
Oh. No, Snoop doesn't remember that. That happened.
What'd I do?
You record. I remember you being in jail. Uh-huh. You know, I've told you this story.
I remember calling you from the jail, bro.
Of course he doesn't remember.
I remember calling you from the jail, cuz. Come on, give me the story.
Yeah, and I taped the...
The verse?
No, I taped the headphone...
To the
mic.
And I spit it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Ha 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 ha!
That was, yes, that was the first demo of Nothing But a G Thing.
Damn, that was dope.
It's one of the nice thing about the hydroponic is you can relive moments from your life over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how you used your one phone call, is recording that. Do you guys ever strongly disagree when you're in the studio?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. This ain't always peanut butter and jelly.
Really?
It's sometimes chicken and cornbread and mixes. It's a mix and match, but the thing is this. I allow Dr. Dre to drive, which means that I do give him control, and I don't have a problem with getting in the passenger seat and becoming Snoop Doggy Dog and letting my mentor lead the way.
I see. All right. But you're also saying that from time to time, the dog will bite.
No. The dog sits in the passenger seat, and he adjusts the music. Uh-huh. But he never grabs the steering wheel.
I heard you guys are working on something right now. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, let me take it from here. Let me take it from here. As long as we've been knowing each other, it's, okay. The first album I've done with Snoop was in 1993, and it's the only album I've ever produced on Snoop, right? 30 years ago. So now, believe it or not, we're getting together again, and we're almost done with the album. The first album was called Doggy Style. So we decided to flip it and call this one Missionary.
That's Jimmy's favorite position.
I love that. Jimmy, that's your favorite position?
Jimmy's been a missionary for 30 years.
That's good. I like that. When will it come out? Do you know?
Oh, it's going to come out.
I know, but when?
That's why you asked that question. I'm glad you asked it. Dr. Dre will begin mixing in mid-April.
Does Dr. Dre know that?
Yes.
I'll ask him.
Okay, yeah, you ask him. You guys also have, and I don't know, why did it take you guys, this has to be the weed, that it took you 30 years to come out with Gin and Juice? I mean, seems like this should have been out a long time ago, yes?
Okay, so let me tell you, this is the part of the show that Jimmy Iovine is gonna love.
Jimmy Iovine, I spotted him in the audience earlier.
This is the part of the show that he's gonna love. He's been waiting for this part of the show.
Yeah, did Jimmy drink this? Jimmy, you drink this? Which is your favorite flavor? You like the passion fruit?
That's my favorite too, Jimmy. We ain't got but one of them up here. We're gonna have to share it. What's going on?
Listen, we've known each other long enough.
I like the apricot. But
you like apricot?
Yes.
Dre like apricot. Give me that melon, cuz. I like that.
All right. Hey, you know what? Let's have some gin and juice. I've always wanted to have gin and juice with you guys.
Come on,
and a toast to Jimmy Iovine as well. Hello. We'll be right back with Dre, Snoop, and 50 Cent. More than 20 years ago, our next guest made a visit to Dr. Dre to make one of the most popular hip-hop albums ever. Please welcome the multi-talented, the multi-tattooed, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Thank you for being here. It's very good to see you.
I feel good to be here, man.
It's great to have you here. You were on, we were talking to Snoop, and you were on our second ever show.
Yeah, see, technically, Jimmy is happening because of you, right?
That's right. You did.
I didn't think that. Yep. I didn't think about it that way.
No, he made the first show a hit, then when I came, it made it hot again, and then Jimmy blew up, and he started
acting
like
I'm the guest. I am part of the Aftermath
dynasty. That's a good point.
I know you are. You joke around a lot, but what does Dr. Dre mean to you?
Man. That question, really?
Yeah. No, yes. Okay. I want to. You know what? I'd like to get some tears going here.
No, it's Dre is like a complete inspiration for me. Like, I've been listening to his music before it was even a serious idea for me to get next to him. And then when I got to the studio, because like even that first record, it was 4 days, but it was like I think we did 8 joints.
No, it was 7 days. Okay, let me tell you the story. So, let me interrupt 50 for a second. Just for a second. So, I did the Get Rich or Die Trying. It was supposed to be me producing half of the album and Eminem producing the other half. I was in the studio with 50 for just 7 days for my entire half of the album.
Yeah.
He came in there and went crazy.
writing. All right, put up another one. Writing, put up another one. And we got the entire thing done in 7 days, at least my hat.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
It was. Wow. It was. Like, I felt like we was done in four, but we went additional 3 days. Like, you know what I mean? Because he had ideas and things that he's very meticulous. He wants it to be perfect. So you got to do it. No, say this like this. Dog. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eminem introduced you.
Yeah. I needed him to get to him.
You took less money to work with Dr. Dre than you could have received from others.
I got a lot of money, though.
That's not true.
He gave me a lot of money. They gave me a lot of money.
How much money did he give you?
I had $1 million. Like,
$1 million?
Yeah, out of the neighborhood? That's a lot of
money. A lot of money. What'd you do with the million when you got it?
Jimmy, stop asking a man what he did with his money, man.
All right.
But the first thing I did was, like, I got my grandmother a car.
That's so. All right, that's good.
You know, because I had an opportunity, like, where I had smaller amounts of money before, like, and when I got it, like, burnt a hole in me. And it never got a chance to do nothing. It really affected anything in my, you know.
Did Dre give you advice? Did he say, listen, here's how you should handle your money. Here's what you should not do.
He didn't. He didn't tell me that. He was like, you know, you'll be all right.
You guys, you played the Super Bowl together. That was quite a show.
I wasn't ready.
I want to point out this photograph is not upside down. You were upside down. Yeah. That looks unpleasant.
Jimmy, I was like 30 pounds heavier at that point, too. I was not ready for that. I was playing.
I never looked at it like that.
I was playing an institutionalized guy on ABC. It was as big as possible. He wasn't supposed to be like 50 Cent.
Uh-huh.
And I gained all of the weight. And then I decided I was going to come in and I wanted to have an intro like the music video. So I was like upside down. And I really didn't think that out. Because like, we had... For 7 days, I was like upside down doing my part. And I was like, if I fall on my head, like risk versus reward, right? What do I get? Like, everybody else was coming in, like Snoop just came in doing this thing like that. It's like, yeah, you're 50 crazy. I don't know what made you want to go upside down.
I've been there many times. So you go, well, this turned out to be a bad idea, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where, and then my weight was like shifted the other way, so it made me feel a lot bigger. Than I was. It just wasn't too... That combination could have went a little different, like that one.
We got a little bit of news about the album that's coming out, Missionary. Are you on the album?
Yeah, I got one with Snoop.
He said something.
You are on the album.
I like that too. Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'll tell you how that works.
Yeah, tell me how it works.
I get a text message. I get a text from Dre, and I get a text from M, and almost simultaneously, so it goes like, oh. And they go, stop. So it means stop what you're doing. I don't care if you're producing television shows. I don't care what you're doing. Stop and figure out how to get this done for us right now because it's that urgent. And then I went and wrote my part because to me, that's what it feels like.
Right.
I better, because those other people don't mean the same thing to me.
Uh-huh, right, sure. Yeah, you know, old pals.
When I get it done and I send it back and I get the fire emojis back, see Dre, you usually don't say things. I usually get
that's
something
exactly
from
what
him,
happened.
It's different. Like, he'll go like this. He won't even say, yo, I like that one. He'll go like this.
So, you're telling me Dr. Dre uses emojis. That's something I never imagined.
Well.
Tell me about this text chain. Who's on the text chain?
It was two separates, me, M, and Dre at that point.
Like, you guys, like, when something happens that you think is funny, like, let's say a famous hip-hop artist who finds himself in a very embarrassing situation. Like, do you guys immediately start texting each other about that?
No, that's 50 and Snoop.
Yeah.
I'm watching his Instagram all the time. So it's like, I see it. And I'll say, I'll repost what he just did.
Yeah, I know you like doing that kind of stuff. Yeah, I We'll be right back with Dre, Snoop, and 50 Cent. Yeah. We are back with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and 50 Cent. It is Dre Day. I feel like we're really just now getting loose here.
Yeah.
I feel like The View. This is like, I feel very much like Whoopi right now. Wow. This is something that you posted on Instagram earlier this year, Curtis. I don't have time to be distracted. I'm practicing abstinence. From what exactly?
Jimmy, I'm focused right now.
You're focused.
My life is better. Things are a little clearer. No, I know the married people, you married, they say, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, they say that.
Yeah. You look like happy hostages. Right. You know, you're held under these new special restraints now, and I'm not focused on that, and I got to do
How long have you been... Is this like one of those things, like when Snoop said he was quitting smoking, abstinence? Is this like Snoop's abstinence, or is this real abstinence?
This is real abstinence. Just, well, you know, I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to make it to Lent.
Really? How long has it been?
It's been, wow, some 2 months.
And then, so Easter Sunday, look out.
Yeah. I've been working out more.
Okay.
2 months? Yeah, I've been working out more. Like, you know, the guys in jails, I hope they're practicing that.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
No.
All right, I don't believe that this abstinence is actually happening.
I don't believe it either.
You believe it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's real, guys. I feel like my friends don't even believe in me now.
Yeah. What about Eminem? He was here a little bit earlier. He headed back home. Yeah. Is he on this album with you guys?
Did he do something for that? I could get him to do it.
You could get him to do it.
Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you
Now.
Eminem is working on his own album, which is coming out this year, and he's
Oh, he is.
And I actually talked to him, and he said it was okay for me to make that announcement right here on this show.
Ah. Oh, wow.
So he has an album coming out. I've got songs on it, and it's fire. I'm actually going to hear the entire album for the first time tomorrow. Yeah. And he holds his music close to his chest, so I haven't heard everything. I haven't even heard everything complete that I've done, but I'm going to hear it, and he's putting out an album this year.
Oh, so you actually haven't heard, because I know you typically are very careful with your stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm hands-on. There's things that I have to mix that I've done, but I get a chance to hear the album in its entirety.
Can I ask you guys, when you're sitting there, Snoop, Curtis, you're sitting there, and you're playing something for Dre for the first time, what are you looking for reaction-wise?
I'm watching. I just like to, like, I'm not paying attention, and I'm just watching him the whole time.
Snoop, are you doing the same thing?
I'm nervous, guy.
You're nervous. And Dre, are you aware, and are you giving pretend extra enthusiasm because you know that they're watching you the whole time?
Jimmy, this is my first time hearing this.
Oh, it is. But you can understand that.
I just sit here and do my thing.
He's brutally honest.
Yeah, I am brutally
If you're
honest.
Garbage, he's going to tell you.
Have you had that situation where you have?
Yes. Isn't that what you want?
Yes.
You want somebody in your, no, you people in your circle.
I played records and just decided I'm not using them no more.
Really?
I didn't get the response I wanted from it, so I was like, nah, that ain't.
Wow.
I just ain't going to risk it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes he'll play a record, he'll like it, so he'll just be playing stuff. It'd be his records. No. Jimmy, I will wait.
That's
funny.
I will
wait till I come to the studio again and he don't play that record. And I go, yo, what happened to that other joint you had?
That's funny.
Yeah,
That's how I start off, because I need that one, the one you had that you was playing.
I see.
You just put it on the side over there, let me get that, because I wanted that when you played it the first time, and I couldn't ask for it. But now that you're not playing it, I know it's in the I could possibly get it section.
Well, we learned a lot of good stuff today. We learned about Missionary, the first album from you guys in 30 years. We learned that you're part of this. We learned about a new Eminem album.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of fun. We should go camping together or something, the four of us. Yes?
Yeah,
have you been
then,
camping?
You started making us do skits about your penis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this does to my image.
Yeah, well, we'll find out tomorrow. We'll reassess. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. One more break. We'll be right back. I want to thank Snoop Dogg I want to thank Curtis, 50 Cent Jackson. I want to thank Eminem. I want to apologize to Matt Damon. And most of all, I want to thank you, Dr. Dre, for being here. That was so much fun.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you sitting and
talking. Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Dr. Dre, everybody. Nightline is ready. Thanks for watching tonight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.